talk to you today about something very important for you to know on this first Sunday of a new year. The title of my message today is Fixer Upper. Now, I am confident that every lady present knows exactly where I got my title from today. Some of the men may not know it, but a lot of guys probably do. And I did indeed take it from a television program that's on HGTV Network. My wife knows every single episode by heart, and she gets her Magnolia magazine in the mail once a month, and she has each and every book written by Chip and Joanna Gaines. Unless you spent the last 6 years under a rock, you've likely heard of this wildly popular television program, and Chip and Joanna Gaines of Magnolia Farms out in Waco, Texas, and I did appropriate my title from them. If you happen to have missed it all, just by way of summary, the program Fixer Upper is technically an American reality television series about home design and renovation. And merely to say that the show's had an impact would be the understatement of the century. To begin with, it's generated a huge increase in tourism and business for the little city of Waco, Texas, that quite frankly, other than Baylor University, the world didn't pay much attention to. What's more, Fixer Upper has single-handedly turned HGTV into a $1 billion-a-year network, according to what you read online. But its impact has been felt far and wide. I read something this week that blew my mind. It says that we're told that all over America, homes with architectural features mentioned repeatedly on the show, such as wainscoting and clawfoot bathtubs and barn doors, and above all, shiplap, which is Joanna's favorite word, those homes nationwide, if they have these components, they sell for an average of 30% more than they did before the program came on the air. That is phenomenal. And even today, we're told that houses that were originally renovated by Chip and Joanna Gaines that come back on the market in the Waco area now sell for ridiculously large sums of money. As one person put it, Chip and Joanna Gaines have become the Frank Lloyd Wrights of our generation. Those of you who are my age and older will understand the significance of that. Well, all that being said, the premise of the show is stated at the very beginning. It says, we're Chip and Joanna Gaines, and we take the worst house in the best neighborhood and turn it into our client's dream home. Now, I want you to let that soak in for just a moment. The premise of Fixer Upper is that what were once beautiful new homes in their day, but have since inevitably fallen into disrepair and are now sorely in need of being fixed up, are projects taken on by Chip and Joanna Gaines, who then step in and bring about miraculous transformations, resulting in gloriously restored dwelling places of exceptional quality and worth to those who dwell in them. And if you reflect on that, I would say that that's a pretty good picture of what God does for us. So here's my premise for this morning's message. We who were originally created by God as the crowning aspect of His creation for His glory and honor and His purposes have nonetheless become flawed and fallen into disrepair and are sorely in need of being fixed up. And God is willing to step in and do that with our lives if we will simply give Him the opportunity to do that. He will step in and do a gloriously miraculous work, transforming us from what we once were into what we can be. And the reason I know that to be the case is because there is evidence of it all throughout the Bible. Not only does God promise this, but time and again it's illustrated in Scripture. And I would suggest to you today that an experience in the life of the Old Testament prophet Jeremiah, in chapter 18, verses 1 through 6, underscores how God comes into our heart and comes into our life and fixes things up for us in ways that we never could. So take your copy of God's Word, stand with me as we read together this day. Just a short 6 verses from God's Word, Jeremiah chapter 18, beginning in verse 1. This is the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Go down to the potter's house, and there I will give you my message. So I went down to the potter's house, and I saw him, that is the potter, working at the wheel. But the pot he was shaping from the clay was marred in his hands. So the potter formed it into another pot, shaping it as seemed best to him. And then the word of the Lord came to me, O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter does? Declares the Lord, like clay in the hand of the potter, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. And so God's question to each and every person here today is a simple question that he asked through Jeremiah to Israel, and that he still asks to us today. And that is this, can I not do with you as the potter does? God speaks to us from heaven. God woos us through the Holy Spirit and says, like clay in the hand of the potter, so are you in my hand, Mr. or Ms. Human Being. Okay, so your life has difficulties. Okay, so your life has frailty. Okay, so you are a sinful person. Okay, so you have made mistakes. Okay, so you have messed up. But cannot I fix all that if you will just give it to me? Cannot I make all things new? I want you to pray with me and for me today as I speak to you on this business of how God works his miracle of restoration in the life of each and every person who is willing to surrender fully to him and experience all that he can give us. May we pray, Father, as we turn our attention to your word and the principles of your word, as we reflect on what your word has to say to us, Lord, may we today be willing to put that into practice. Be willing to consider that this is not just some 2,000, 3,000 year old book, but it is the living word of God. And the message it contains can transform our lives. And so Lord, open our ears and tune our hearts to heaven today and allow us to hear the message that your word has for us. And then to act on it, Lord, to embrace it, to receive it, and experience all that you, the divine fixer-upper, can do in our lives. This is our prayer in the name of Jesus, for we pray it in his name. Amen. God bless the reading of his word, and you can be seated. Now, our key verse that I want to focus on today in this passage is verse 4. It is the meat of this passage. And so, what does the Bible say? But the pot he, that is the potter, was shaping from the clay was marred in his hands. So the potter formed it into another pot, shaping it as seemed best to him. And the reason this is such a powerful verse to me is because there you have, in one simple verse, a concise picture of the gospel of Jesus Christ. A concise picture of what God does in the lives of people who are in need. Allow me to suggest four things from this one little verse. We can break it down into four equal parts that remind us this morning of the restorative power of God in our lives when we give everything to him. So if you're taking notes, here's the first point. Number one, I believe this passage reminds us of what all God has done for us. What all God has done for us. And I base this on the first part of this particular verse, which says, the pot he was shaping from the clay. Now, if you reflect on that for just a moment, the first part of this verse and this first phrase, I believe what you'll see here is a reminder that we owe our very existence to God. We owe our very existence to God. The very reason we exist to begin with is because God decided to create us. He decided to create you in his image and me in his image. And so, it stands to reason that without the potter, there would be no pots. I've had the opportunity on several occasions to go to Israel. And if you go to several of the places in Israel, you'll see a lot of the ruins there. Days gone by, and you'll see the stones and some of the buildings have collapsed, et cetera, et cetera. And you don't have to look very far in the midst of that. Inevitably, you'll see broken pottery laying around. And you think, okay, this pottery didn't get here by itself. Somebody had to make it. The mere fact that it's laying here on the ground means that at some point in the past, there was a potter. And that potter decided to take clay and to make pots. And so I share this thought with you as a reminder that you owe your very existence to Almighty God. And this assertion is affirmed over and over again all throughout Scripture. So the psalmist tells us, know that the Lord himself is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. And then, of course, we come to the New Testament. We get the same message over and over. Paul, in his famous sermon on Mars Hill, which many of you know is dear to my heart, in Acts chapter 17, he talks about the God who made the world and everything in it, that he is the Lord of heaven and earth and does not live in temples built by human hands. And he is not served by human hands as if he needed anything. Rather, he himself gives everyone life and breath and everything else. From one man, he made all the nations that they should inhabit the whole earth. And he marked out their appointed times in history and the boundaries of the lands. So I want to remind you up front that the reason you're here this morning is because God created you and put you in this world. And that, my friends, means that you are no accident. The mere fact that you exist is testament to the fact that the God of the universe decided one day to create you and to endow you with certain traits and characteristics. More to the point, to endow you with life, so that that life could fulfill a purpose known only to him. Elsewhere, God uses the same prophet in the Old Testament, Jeremiah, to make this point. Many of you are familiar with Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11, what God says. "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." So God is reminding us through Jeremiah that he is the origin of life, but he's also reminding us that God has a purpose for each and every life, a divine will for each and every life. And this reminds us that God does not just create us, but he creates us with purpose in mind. This particular passage of scripture is dear to me because of how dear it is to my sister. This is from Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. My sister has a habit of taping little pieces of paper with scripture all over her house. And on the mirror where she gets dressed every morning, where she prepares to go out and face the world, she has placed Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. "I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." And let me tell you something, that was very meaningful to my sister each and every day when she got up in her fight with cancer. To know that God was reminding her each and every day that she was no accident, that she was put here in this world by God, and that God had a purpose for her life. My sister's right. What's true for her is true for me, and it's true for you here today. Each and every one of us needs to be reminded that God created us and that God has big plans for us and he has purposes for us. I remember hearing an evangelist use an illustration one time, and it just stuck with me down through the years. He says the chances that the sort of world that is described by Paul in Acts chapter 17, this great big world full of order and life and purpose, he said the chances of that happening on its own by accident would be like someone going down to the Home Depot. And they bring in all of this TNT, and then they push down the plunger and just explode it, and all the things in Home Depot just go way up in the air. And then when they fall back down to earth, they fall back and come together in the exact form of a perfectly completed and constructed house. All the lumber went where it was supposed to go, and all the nails went where it was supposed to go, and all the shingles went where it was supposed to go, and all the doors and all the windows. And I thought that was pretty profound, you understand. He's making the point there that things in this world are here for a reason. The reason they're here is because God made them and God put them here. And not just the things that are in this world, but the people that are in this world were put here by God and were put here so that we might have a purpose. So that's the first thing I want you to take away from this. It was the potter who was forming the clay into the pot. That's what he did. But I want you to notice the second thing this verse tells us. It reminds us not only of what God has done for us in giving us life and imbuing our life with meaning and purpose, but it also reminds us, secondly, of what all sin has done to us. This verse reminds us, secondly, of what all sin has done to us. And so we see this in the second phrase in part of verse 4. It says, the pot was marred in his hands. The pot was marred in his hands. The second part of this verse, therefore, is a simple reminder of what sin has done to me and what sin has done to you. The fact is, along the way, humanity became flawed. We were issued from the hand of God, but nonetheless, we developed an imperfection, a great imperfection called sin. And that imperfection is readily apparent to God, and it's readily apparent to you and to me. We cannot deny that we are fundamentally flawed in our nature. And so the Old Testament Isaiah, he picks up on this same theme, and he talks about our sins and the consequence of our sins. And I want you to listen to what he says in Isaiah 59, verse 2. He says, your sins have separated you from Almighty God. You want to talk about the number one consequence of sin? I believe with all my heart that this is the number one consequence of sin, that we have been separated from God. Get this now. We who were uniquely created by God in order to be in a personal relationship with Him and bring glory to Him in that relationship, we have been separated from God, and therefore we are not able to fulfill the purpose for which we were created. Now, when we examine the story, we are only given certain information about what Jeremiah observed that day. To be sure, we don't necessarily know how the pot was marred. We don't know in what way it was marred. But what is evident from the text is that it was marred. It had a substantial enough imperfection that as a result of whatever went wrong with the pot, it was obviously, therefore, not to the liking of the potter, and therefore arguably could not fulfill the vision that he had for it and the purpose that he had. And so for this reason, we grasp the fact that the pot obviously served no purpose to the potter in its present condition. Therefore, it seems to me that the potter had one of two choices. Either he could take the pot and discard it and give up on it, or he could rework the clay and remake the pot into something brand new. And it appears to me that the Bible makes plain that God had the same options for us. When sin entered into this world in Genesis chapter 3, at that point God could have wiped his hands of us. At that point, God could have abandoned us. God could have turned his back on us. God could have said, well, that did not turn out the way it should have, and I'm done with mankind. But he didn't do that. The Bible makes plain that he purposed to remake us. Therefore, rather than being discarded by God, we have been remade by him. I go back to this Fixer Upper program, this television program that is so wildly popular. Every single house featured on the program at some point has fallen into some degree of disrepair. At some point, something went wrong with this house, and it began to develop difficulties and lose its value. And some of the houses on there, if you're familiar with the program, are in such bad shape that they're not even fit for human habitation. On one episode, they're walking through the house and the floor gives way and they step through. On another episode, they started to work on the side of the house and they tore off the siding because they noticed a bee fly up in there. And the whole side of the house was this giant bee nest. And you can't live in that. It's not fit for human habitation. In the same way, I say again, God could have washed his hands of us. He could have given up on us as men and women who were hopelessly flawed and not fit for divine habitation, not fit for God to come into our heart and take up residence. But he chose not to do that, guys. He chose to find a way to fix what was wrong with us. And this is exactly what Jeremiah's day at the potter's house conveys to us. That God, who created us and gave us life and designed that life to be meaningful and purposeful, even when we turned against him and sinned against him, he could have given up on us, but he didn't. He determined to make the best of the situation, find a way to fix it. And that's the third thing I see here. This passage reminds us of what all Christ has done with us. And you see this in the third phrase in this verse. So the potter then formed it into another pot. He formed it into another pot. And by this one simple act, the potter shows us just how much God the Father in heaven loved me and loved you. That even though I have been separated from God because of the sin in my life, God sent his Son Jesus Christ into this world to overcome that separation, to give his life on an old rugged cross as an atonement for my sins. And in doing so, he restored me to a proper relationship with my Heavenly Father. I don't want you to miss this. Here's what Ephesians chapter 2 verse 13 says. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Isaiah says the terrible consequences of sin in our life is that we are separated from God. We have a broken relationship. But Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 2 that what God did through Jesus Christ was to come in this world to bring us back near to God, to restore us to a proper relationship. So on one hand, where were we? We were separated from God, and the terrible consequences are a purposeless life and death. Whereas according to the New Testament, what God has done for us in Jesus Christ, we've been brought back near to God through Jesus. And as a result of that, we have a purposeful life made possible by the love of God's Son and the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. I want to read to you how the contemporary English version translates Ephesians 2:10. God planned all along for us to do good things and to live as He has always wanted us to live. This is why He sent Christ to make us into what we now are. If you read that verse and you reflect on it, you'll realize what a beautiful verse that is. This is God remaking us, bringing us back into line with His original purpose for His life. So in Jeremiah's experience, the potter took the flawed pot and made it into something new. And in Christ, even though we're flawed human beings, flawed by our sinful nature, we can be remade into something entirely new. And this is why Paul puts it this way in 2 Corinthians. He says, therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. Behold, all things, old things are passed away and all things are become new. I remember reading a story that was told by Allendale Golding, who was a missionary to the Philippines for about 30 years, now living in California. But he said when they were in the missionary, when they were serving as missionaries there, they wanted to familiarize themselves with the Philippines as much as possible from top to bottom. So they took several trips and they went to a place called Bagao City, and that's noted for the silversmiths they have there. And they went to one particular place where there was a school where they teach silversmiths how to do their job. And they toured this school and learned a lot. And he said at the end, he bought himself a simple money clip. He said the reason he bought it is because it was on the table and it was just beautifully inscribed. And he said it was a very meaningful thing to him. He didn't know at the time when he bought it that he was going to carry it for 24 years in his pocket. 24 years, every day, reaching in, pulling it out, taking something from it, putting something back in it. 24 years. And then said one day he reached in his pocket to pull it out and he went to take some money out of the money clip, and when he did, it broke in two. And he said he was devastated. He said it had become like second nature to have this in his pocket. It was an extension of him. And so he said, on a chance, I decided I would go back up to Bagao City and see if that silversmith place was still in business. And when I got there, lo and behold, it was. He said, I went in, and there was a man there, and I said, I introduced myself, and I said, let me tell you, it was 24 years ago I was here, and I left with a souvenir, and this is it. And he laid it on the counter there, and he said, it's broken. And he said, is there any possible way this thing can be fixed? And he said, the man stood there, and he picked it up, and he turned over, and he said, you know, he said, I'm a graduate of this school, and he said, now I work here. And he said, you're probably not going to believe this, but this was my work. I made this. I was the only one who made this. This is my engraving. And so the missionary standing there, and he said, wow, what are the chances of that? He said, can it be fixed? And he said, he'll never forget what the man said to him. He said, yes. He said, I designed it. I made it. And I can fix it. As a matter of fact, I'm the only one who can fix it. And I'll fix it for you right now. The reason I love that story is because that's a beautiful picture of who Jesus Christ is and what Jesus Christ does for us. Don't you understand, my friend, what's being communicated here is simply this. God alone made us. And God alone is capable of fixing what's wrong with us. Just as that potter was the one who was making that pot. And even though it was marred, that potter who had designed it and who had made it was capable of remaking it, reworking it into a brand new creation. And God has chosen to do this with us through His Son, Jesus Christ. But I want you to notice one other thing about that verse in 2 Corinthians 5. Notice how it starts. The Bible says there, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. You see that? If any man be in Christ. That's a very important word. Just two letters, but a very big word. The reason that's important is because that reminds us that even though God has made possible the work of restoration through Jesus Christ, it's not automatic. It requires a step on our behalf. Well, I want to tell you some really good news. I finally got to see my grandson. I had shared with you before Christmas that my grandson was born. The week before Christmas, he came early, sort of put everybody's plans all in a mess. But the biggest frustration to me is that I had a cold, really bad cold during that time. And I was perfectly willing to go meet my grandson. But my daughter said, that ain't happening, Dad. You're priority number two at this point. Priority number one is my little boy, Wally. And we're going to make certain that the appropriate amount of time passes. So I had to wait 2.5 weeks before I finally got to see my grandson. But can I just tell you, I had that opportunity And I understand now why there's a bumper sticker out there that says, if I knew grandchildren were going to be this much fun, I'd have had them first. I understand that. I really do. But we got together, and for the first time, and I don't know when, the whole Jackson clan gathered over in Greenback. We had our daughter Andrea and her husband, two boys, and had our son Caleb and his wife, and she's expecting, and then Micah and his wife, and their little boy. And it was just wonderful. We got together. And every year at Christmas, that means more and more to me just to have the family together. But Miss Vicki and I, we love our children. And so you know what we did? We got all of them, all three of them, really special gifts. And I observed something when they tore into those packages that night. Do you know that not one single one of them tore the package open, looked at me and said, well, Dad, that's a really nice present, but to be honest with you, I'm not interested. Not one single one of them tore into their present, looked at me and said, well, Dad, I know you went to a lot of trouble to get this, but thanks, but no thanks. Not one single one of them rejected the gift that I was offering them. And it would have broken my heart if they had done so. Now, I'm telling you this story because many a flawed person has been offered this wonderful gift of restoration through Jesus Christ and have said to their Heavenly Father, no thanks, I don't want it. Why do we do things like that? Did anybody see the story in the news this week about a parrot? It was up in London, England. A lady had a parrot, a Macau parrot. And somehow the thing got loose and got up on the roof of her house. For 3 days, she tried to coax that parrot down. Realizing that she wasn't getting anywhere, and in desperation, she called the local, animal a clinic said, what do I need to do? And they said, well, we can't really help you. You probably just need to call the fire department. So she called the fire department. So here comes the fire department with a great big ladder truck. You know the scene. They get there. All the firemen, they ponder over this. They get out the ladder. They put it up there. And a fireman climbs up to the roof of his house. And he reaches out to get the parrot. And you know what the parrot did? It cursed him out. Now, I can only imagine how this lady feels. Can you? You're like, ooh, don't know where he learned that at. My husband taught him those words. Literally, the parrot cursed the fireman out. And he said, ma'am, I don't know what to do. And she said, well, I always tell him I love you. And the fireman reached out to the parrot and said, I love you. And the parrot said, I love you too. And then cursed him out again. Now, according to the story, I'm not making this up. According to the story, the fire department just had to give up. But the parrot eventually flew into the tree and then made its way back to the ground. And she got it back inside. And all's well that ends well. But guys, I tell you that story because how many times has God reached out to you and offered to do a wonderful, miraculous, restorative work in your life, only to have you rebuff him. Only to have you say, no, God, I'm not interested. I don't want that. How many of us treat God exactly like that? You don't believe we do that? Listen to how Isaiah chapter 45 puts it. What sorrow awaits those who argue with their creator? Listen, does a clay pot argue with its maker? Does the clay dispute with the one who shapes it? Saying, stop, you're doing it all wrong. When God magnanimously, generously, graciously offers to step into your life and perform some miraculous work, then folks, we ought not to say no, God. We ought not to argue as the clay with a potter, but we ought to say yes, God. I accept your gracious offer and I embrace it. A.W. Tozer said it best. He said, God will take 9 steps toward us, but he will not take the 10th. He will incline us to repent, but he will not do our repenting for us. And so when Paul uses that little word, if, it's a very important word. Because it reminds us that this wonderful, miraculous work of restoration that God wants to do in our life is contingent upon our willingness to accept God's offer of salvation and to embrace it and to receive it and to act upon it. Because God will not force himself upon any man. And so, my friend, if you're not a believer today, then this message is for you. If you've never embraced Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, this message is for you. And I hope that this will be the day that rather than look to God in heaven and say, no, thank you, I'm not interested, that you will ponder afresh and anew what it is that God is offering to do in your life through Jesus Christ. That you will ponder whether or not you need to respond to that. That you need to embrace that. So that you can have that full and meaningful and purposeful life that God intends you to have. And I love that old hymn that so many of us grew up singing, which seems so relevant at this point. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. For thou art the potter and I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting, yielded and still. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Search me and try me, Savior, today. Wash me just now, Lord. Wash me just now. As in thy presence, humbly I bow. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Wounded and weary, help me, I pray. Power, all power, surely is thine. Touch me and heal me. Savior divine. I wonder if someone needed to hear that today. I wonder if someone is listening to me and they know that their life is marred and they've done everything in their power to make things right and they can't get anywhere with the mess that they've created. And they need God to do that wonderful work of redemption and restoration. And maybe this passage from Jeremiah chapter 18 verse 4 was just for you today. It's a marvelous little verse. It tells us that God created us and gave us life and desired that life to be full of meaning and purpose. It tells us that we sinned against God. It tells us that even though God could have rejected us, He chose not to do that. He chose to fix what was wrong with us. It chose to give us His Son, Jesus Christ, in order that we might be redeemed. But I believe there's one more thing this verse tells us that has relevance for every person today. I believe number four, this passage reminds us of what all the Holy Spirit now does in us. Jeremiah chapter 18, verse 4 has a fourth component to it. It goes on to say that the potter continued shaping it as seemed best to him. Did you catch that? I don't believe there are any words in the Bible that are there for no purpose. And I believe these are significant words. What's obvious here is that the potter first reformed the clay into a new pot. But then he continued to work with that pot, perfecting it. He kept on working with this newly reformed pot until he had shaped it exactly to his particular desire. And thus, there's a reason this fourth and final phrase is in this verse, and I believe it's this. It's to remind me and to remind you that God continues to work in our lives as believers. He continues to mold us. He continues to shape us. Because once we have been restored to a proper relationship with us, He does have a purpose for my life. He does have a purpose for your life. If you went to a potter's house in that day, you'd see that some of what he formed was designed to be a bowl, and some was designed to be a plate, some was designed to be a pitcher. Everything had a specific purpose. And I believe that God has a specific purpose for each and every life here today. And this is what God appears to be conveying to us here in the text. He's telling us this, and we know it because of the context in which this little passage comes. The greater context is God saying to Israel, I have a plan and a will for your life, and I can build you up and make you into something glorious, or I can bring you down and destroy you. And God is saying to us as believers, I have a purpose for your life. And I did not just save you so that you could get baptized and then sit and soak and sour. I saved you in order that you might fulfill your divinely given purpose and find a way to bring glory and honor to me. So it's obvious here that God continues to work, and the potter does, continues to work in the life of the pot. And God continues to work in the life of a believer once we've been saved. And the Bible calls that sanctification. 1 Thessalonians 4:3, for this is the will of God, even our sanctification. We have been justified by Jesus Christ, the Bible tells us. But we are sanctified by the ongoing work of the Holy Spirit in our life as the potter continuously molds us each and every day. And how does that happen? Through the work of the Holy Spirit, which is why Paul says in Romans 8:14, for the children of God are those who are led by the Spirit. As we are led by the Spirit, as we submit daily to the Spirit in our life, then we conform more and more to the image of God through His Son, Jesus Christ. And as a result, we become more and more useful and beneficial to God, and therefore we more and more fulfill the purpose that we are giving. So I want to go back to that hymn, Have Thine Own Way, Lord, but I want to read to you that fourth verse that we so often overlook. Have Thine Own Way, Lord, have Thine Own Way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after Thy will while I am waiting, yielded and still. But listen to these words. Have Thine Own Way, Lord, have Thine Own Way. Hold o'er my being absolute sway. Fill with Thy Spirit till all shall see Christ only, always living in me. In other words, it's fitting that we as the pot should say to the potter, thank you for creating me. And even though I was marred, thank you for remaking me. But now, Lord, having been remade, I want you to use me for whatever purpose you have for me. Reveal that purpose to me and draw me closer and closer to Jesus Christ and help me conform every day of this coming new year more and more to His image so that I can fulfill that mission. And now the rubber meets the road. And now I say to you, here's the relevance of this particular message on this particular Sunday of the new year. Today, of course, is January 6, 2019. It's the very first Sunday of the new year. And what better time to be reminded that a life full of flaws can be remade in the hands of Almighty God and then turned into something useful and productive for Him and His glory and His honor. This has relevance for me. It has relevance for you. I mean, after all, people everywhere all around us are making New Year's resolutions, right? My New Year's resolution is don't ever make the mistake of buying tuna again. Have you made some New Year's resolutions? Have you said as 2019 starts, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that better. Can I go you one better? Can I say to you that perhaps it would be better for you as a believer to say today, God, make me better this year. I submit more than ever to you, to your will, to your authority. I, the clay, I, the pot, look to you, the potter, and I say, have Thine own way, Lord. In this brand new year, more than ever. And so I say to you, do you desperately need changes in your life? Most of us do. In your flawed professional life, in your flawed financial life, in your flawed personal life, in your flawed marital life, in your flawed physical life, in your flawed emotional life, do you need changes today? Most of us do. And above all else, do you need some changes in your flawed spiritual life? Most of us do. Then why not say this Sunday of the new year, more than ever in the history of my life, Lord, have Thine own way. In my flawed professional life, Lord, just take my career. Take my job, Lord. Take my relationships with my coworkers. Take everything about what I do with my life at work. Now, own it, Lord. In my financial life, Lord, just take my checkbook. Ooh, that's scary. Pray that prayer. It's yours, Lord. I lay it on the altar. Have Thine own way with it. In my flawed personal life, Lord, just take my habits. All the things I spend my time doing. From this day forward in my personal life, Lord, have Thine own way. In my flawed marital life, Lord, just take my spouse, please. No, I'm cutting up. Take my marriage, Lord, and do with my marriage what I can't do with my marriage. my flawed physical life. Lord, take my health. In my flawed emotional life, Lord, take my feelings, my guilt, my fear, my bitterness. Above all else, in my flawed spiritual life, Lord, just take my life. Have thine own way. Have thine own way, Lord. Mold me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting, yielded and still. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Does Jeremiah chapter 18 have relevance for every person here? You better believe it does. It has relevance for anyone whose life has never been remade. Jesus Christ can fix what's wrong with you when no one else can. It has relevance for every believer today. God can give you a life with meaning and purpose like you have never known before. But it comes down to this. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter.